Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is called the Pack-A-Day Podcast because you get a brand new Packers podcast 365 days a year, every single freaking day. So make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews, tell a friend, show your appreciation. And of course, check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships as well. Today, we are talking about the Packers championship window. Is it open? How long is it going to be open for? Can they win the Super Bowl this year? It is great that this Packers team is chock full of young, talented players that we're all excited about. That's great. But somehow they have to find a way to translate that into actually winning a Super Bowl, hoisting that Lombardi trophy, bringing it back to Green Bay, throwing a parade so we can all celebrate, and seeing that beautiful trophy back in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's the goal of this entire thing. It's great to have a good football team. We love our Packers no matter what. Like I said, the young, talented players on this team, it's all so exciting, but you have to pay it off somehow with the Super Bowl. So today we're going to look at how long is this Packers window potentially open to win this Super Bowl. Now, first of all, the Packers were sort of unexpected competitors in 2024. There weren't many people that had Green Bay competing for a potential Super Bowl this last year. Now, you can argue they didn't, and technically they didn't. They fell short of even the NFC Championship game by a round. However, we all know they played San Francisco in San Francisco and arguably should have won that game. This close, didn't win it, but arguably should have had them, should have won. Then they would have gone to Detroit in Detroit. Nothing guaranteed, of course, but that is a team that they beat in their own house just a couple months prior. And then they would have played Kansas City in the Super Bowl, a team that they also happened to beat through the course of the season. How likely that entire scenario would have been, who knows, but they were at least in the conversation, and again, sort of unexpectedly so. Not many people projecting Green Bay even to get as far as they did, even to be a playoff team this past year. I think everyone is very much expecting Green Bay to compete in 2024, certainly those of you who are probably listening to this podcast. But the question remains, what does their overall window look like? How long can it stay open? And the truth is, these windows, these championship windows, can be very precarious. Sometimes they never really get fully opened in the first place. Other times, you've got a sliver of an opportunity and they can slam aggressively before you're expecting it. Take actually Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers era, right? We all thought that first Super Bowl win, 2010, man, you're going to get a bunch more opportunities to win this thing. Clearly, Aaron will be back at some point. And there were a numerous amount of opportunities to do so. They never even got back to a Super Bowl, much less won one. Brett Favre, you're certainly thinking after 96, this could be something where they win multiple Super Bowls. They get right back there in 97, huge favorites to win it. They lose that game. They never get back there again. So even if you win it, which again, nobody's going to ever apologize for, they won two Super Bowls with those two quarterbacks, there's no guarantee that that success is going to last for a while. And there's no guarantee for a team like this that you even get to that Super Bowl or win that Super Bowl in the first place like Aaron and Brett actually did. Famously, I tweeted out after the double doink in Chicago when Bears fans were very excited about their future with Mitch Trubisky and that young Bears team that had Khalil Mack in his prime and they were, you know, poised for future success for forever. After that double doink, I tweeted out, I said, after the Bears made some moves in that offseason, wasn't such a huge fan of them. I said, this Bears window is going to close a lot quicker than people are expecting. And Greg Gabriel and some other Bears people jumped on it. It went semi-viral very, very quickly, especially in Chicagoland. I got dragged by every Bears fan imaginable. Guess what? Their window closed extremely fast. in large part due to the fact that Mitch Trubisky never really took a step forward, and they never had any opportunity with that team ever again, never won a playoff game with that team. So they had a sliver of a window, the double doink season. They had a really good year. Double doink happens. They lose that playoff game. They never really get back. That opportunity never presents itself again. Like I said, these windows can be very precarious, and you have to be very careful with how you approach them. Now, to be fair, Green Bay has basically had a three-decade-plus window for the most part, couple seasons in there where they weren't really contenders, but this is clearly a team and a franchise that has been pretty adept at being a competitive team over and over and over, and now you're starting something new with a new franchise quarterback in Jordan Love. And it should be noted here that Jordan Love's contract will play a very large role in this. For the purpose of today's episode, I am recording this episode early, so in case the contract's already been done, then you can disregard this part. But, you know, we are assuming that Jordan Love is going to get paid a massive deal and make him a Green Bay Packer for the foreseeable future. And unless something goes crazy, you're expecting that he is going to be the franchise guy for now until hopefully very long into the future. And while we look at this Packers window, it's important to note the Packers' overarching philosophy. They are a draft and develop franchise. And there are advantages and disadvantages to how they operate. The advantages, especially with being able to find back-to-back to hopefully back quarterbacks, and it certainly seems like they did, is that you are consistently competitive and you're giving yourself a puncher's chance at a Super Bowl almost every single year. The disadvantages of how they have done things most of the time is that they more often than not have not had that all-in mentality to really push all the chips in the middle in one specific season or maybe a season or two to try to really go for it to get that Super Bowl win, you know, knowing that that probably is going to affect you going into the future. They did a little bit towards the end of the Aaron Rodgers era, no question about it. They did a lot of it, really, at that point. Ted Thompson was completely allergic to really doing anything like that. And then Ron Wolf definitely did in 96 and 97, and he put as many chips as he possibly could, certainly into those two teams. It should also be noted that, you know, the overall advantage of how this team operates has served them extremely well over the course of these past three decades plus. And Goody is definitely a bit different than Ted Thompson, who was definitely still different than Ron Wolf, even if they've overall had the same kind of philosophy for three decades plus. Goody is more willing to go out and find a Za'Darius Smith or a Xavier McKinney or a Preston Smith or an Adrian Amos when he has the money to go do so, or a Josh Jacobs when he has the money to go and do so, or, you know, putting more resources into the team, borrowing money from the future to try to make it so that that window opens up a little wider when you do have the right circumstances. As we look at this, you know, Packers potential Super Bowl window, the first thing that we need to look at is the age of the roster. Right now, Green Bay is in a beautiful spot. How many players do the Packers have that are 30 years or older? One. One player that is 30 or over as of right now, and that is Preston Smith. He is the only player at age 31 that is 30 or older. How about the 29-year-olds on the team? They have three of them. None of them are locks to make the roster. Eric Wilson is probably the best bet as a special teams expert and backup linebacker who probably makes the team, but certainly, again, is not a lock. Matt Orzech is number two. He will have to fight it out with Peter Bowden to see if he can win that long snapper battle. Certainly not a lock to make the team. And number three is Greg Joseph, who is on the outside looking in and currently battling with two other kickers on the roster, including Anders Carlson, who is the expected favorite to actually win the job. 28-year-olds on the team, Alex Magoo, certainly not likely to make the team. Elton Jenkins, Andre Dillard, probably makes it, but he's going to have to fight for his spot. Kenny Clark, and then Corey Ballantyne. Those are your only 28-year-olds. And then your 27-year-olds, Keyshawn Nixon, Tyler Davis, Zane Anderson, and Jaire Alexander. So one player over 30, only three 29-year-olds, none of which are guaranteed to make the team, five 28-year-olds, with Kenny Clark and Elton Jenkins being the really two important ones there, And then only four 27-year-olds, Jair Alexander and Keyshawn Nixon being the important ones there. It is an incredibly, incredibly young roster. And that does not mean they aren't talented or that they aren't, you know, some of these guys already stars, but they are very, very young, which lends itself to a hopeful, you know, years-long window with this current team, which is a very good thing based on how they just played, especially towards the end of last season. Now, one of the things I did recently that I'm going to rehash a little bit here for non-Pack-A-Day members, I did a Pack-A-Day members-only episode that took a deep dive into what 2025 looks like. I'm going to copy and paste a little bit of that in today's. If you want the deeper dive, become a member and go back and listen to that episode. But here was a snippet of it. If let's take a look at 2025. Let's say every unrestricted free agent is gone, not named Jordan Love, meaning they don't resign Kenny Clark, Eric Stokes, AJ Dillon, Corey Ballantyne, Josh Myers, Eric Wilson, Greg Joseph, Christian Welch, Andre Dillard, Tyler Davis, Robert Rochelle, Zane Anderson, Royce Newman, TJ Slayton, or Isaiah McDuffie. They don't re-sign a single one outside of Jordan Love. I think it's safe to say that he will be back. So they let all of those guys go. All of their exclusive rights free agents are back. Caleb Jones, the only restricted free agent, is gone. And let's just say that Josh Jacobs doesn't work out, so they release him and get off of his contract. And let's say Preston Smith, it's finally time to move on and get off of that contract, so they release him as well. If Green Bay, with all of those things being said, all of your unrestricted free agents not named Jordan Love are gone, your restricted free agent is gone, you release Preston Smith, you release Josh Jacobs, you don't sign a single free agent, you don't draft a single player, and you had to play a game in 2025 just based on what you have on the roster right now, this is what it looks like. Quarterback, Jordan Love, Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt. Running back, Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson. You have your whole slew of wide receivers, Watson, Dobbs, Reed, Wicks, Melton, Heath, Dubose, and Toure, assuming those guys stay on the team, the bottom couple. Tight ends, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, Ben Sims. Offensive tackle, Rashid Walker, Zach Tom, and Travis Glover. Guard, Jordan Morgan, Sean Ryan, and Donovan Jennings. Center, Elton Jenkins and Jacob Monk. You have a fully functioning offense, assuming Marshawn Lloyd is good to go at running back. A full-fledged starting offense in 2025 that should be extremely dynamic with losing any unrestricted free agents, cutting Josh Jacobs, not signing a single player in free agency, and not drafting a single player in the draft next year. They have a really good on paper offense for 2025 already. In defensively, you've got Rashawn Gary, LVN, Kingsley Enagbare, and Brenton Cox at defensive end, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, and Colby Wooden at defensive tackle, Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, and Tyron Hopper at linebacker, corner, Jair Alexander, Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, and Kalen King. Safety, Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Ketan Oladapo, and Anthony Johnson Jr. If you don't sign a single player, you let TJ Slayton go, you let Kenny Clark go, you, again, release Preston Smith, you don't draft a single player, you don't sign a single player, you have pretty much a complete starting capable roster in 2025 outside of you certainly need a couple defensive tackles, like run-stopping defensive tackles. Wyatt Brooks Wooden probably doesn't get it done for you. Maybe you bring back a Slayton. Maybe you bring back a Clark. Maybe you sign a free agent. Maybe you draft someone in the first round. But that is the only thing that if you look at right now, if even the worst case scenario that you're looking at the 2025 roster and like, ugh, not really sure, I'm not confident about it. It's really only defensive, that nose tackle, that run-stopping defensive tackle position that you're looking at and be like, well, they don't have that on the roster right now. Everything else you could get by with the way that it is currently set up with your 2025 roster. And again, that's before any free agents come back, any free agent signings or any draft picks and releasing Preston Smith and Josh Jacobs. That is an incredible, incredible roster with those things considered. Hey friends, we're all excited that training camp is just around the corner, but that doesn't mean that there's not a ton of exciting sports action going on right now. The Brewers are in first place in the NL Central. The Euros have been absolutely phenomenal, and Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever keep getting better week by week. Plus, we've got NBA Summer League action, and whether you're a fan of the WNBA, European football, Major League Baseball, or Summer League basketball, all of them are better when you combine it with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and most importantly, Wisconsin. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. So join in on the fun and become part of the Prize Picks community today. This week, I'm sticking with the young guns in the WNBA, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and I'm also expecting a big Brewers bounce back after a rough series against the Dodgers, and also I'm going with Kylian Mbappe to break out in his match against Spain. There's never been a better time to get in the action with Prize Picks. And as always, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars, so join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. How about 2026? If they don't sign a single player the next 2 years, your free agents leave, you don't draft a player for 2 years, your 2026 team, quarterback, Jordan Love, Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt, running back, Marshawn Lloyd, wide receiver, you still have Reed, Wicks, Heath, and Melton. That would be, Melton and Heath would still be on team controllable contracts as restricted free agents. Tight ends, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, and Ben Sims. Offensive line, Jordan Morgan. We'll assume a Zach Tom extension is going to take place at some point. There's no way they let him walk. Jacob Monk and Travis Glover. Defensive line, Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, Devontae Wyatt if they pick up his fifth-year option. Defensive end, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Brenton Cox. Linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, and Quay Walker if they pick up his fifth-year option. Corner, Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, and Kalen King. Safety, Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Anthony Johnson Jr., and Ketanji Ladapo. They have the core of a 2026 roster pretty much set with just bringing back Zach Tom. And of course, again, we talked about Jordan Love as well, but just bringing those guys back. That you have a core set for 2026. That's losing Watson. That's losing Dobbs. That's losing Clark. That's losing a bunch of guys. You still have a ridiculous core for 2026. Now, after that, you're going to have some really big roster decisions to be made. Even during that, you're going to have some pretty big roster decisions to be made. What happens with Josh Jacobs over the next couple seasons? At some point, you're going to have to make decisions on Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, and the rest of those wide receivers. Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, at some point, you'll have to decide if you want to sign to big long-term deals. We talked about Zach Tom. Elgton Jenkins, the decision will have to be made. Josh Myers this next offseason. Rashid Walker in a couple years. Sean Ryan in a couple years. Kenny Clark this offseason. Devontae Wyatt, do you want to pick up his fifth-year option? TJ Slayton this offseason, Carl Brooks eventually, Preston Smith. At some point, that contract might get to the point where you want to think about maybe moving on. Quay Walker, do you want to pick up his fifth-year option? Eric Stokes, Jair Alexander's contract will continue to grow. There are going to need to be some big-time decisions that get made. But like I said, the core of this team is easily set 2024, 2025, 2026, and your hope is that they continue to draft at least decently well over these next couple seasons, that players continue to progress, you sign some free agents where needed, and this team should still be set up even if they give Jordan Love this massive contract that we are all expecting. Now, one thing we should note when it comes to drafting is that these past couple years, and one of the reasons that they have been able to restock this team with young talent so successfully is because they've had extra draft capital due to both the Davante Adams and the Aaron Rodgers trades. There does not seem to be, and we probably hope that there isn't, any sort of big exiting players that are going to bring in that extra draft capital over these next couple of seasons. So they're not going to have these extra slew of first and second and third round picks that they've had in large part due to those trades. In addition, if things go according to plan, you are potentially looking at another cycle like in the Aaron Rodgers and the Brett Favre eras where you're picking probably somewhere between 25 and hopefully number 32, somewhere in that range, over and over and over again, because you have a consistently good team that's competing in the playoffs, and you're not having those seasons where you're picking in the top 10, top 5, where we have seen them have some selections, not top 10, top 5, but in the top 15 of the draft over the course of these past few years, a couple times those opportunities have come up for them. So they're not going to have that, and like the extra picks, and like I said, they could be picking late in the draft over and over again. The great news is that the Packers have excelled picking throughout the draft, not just on early picks. In fact, we can make an argument that the excitement for this team is a lot of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, and there's still a lot of question marks surrounding first round picks like Jordan Morgan, like Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, Eric Stokes, etc. So it hasn't exactly been that they've just been, you know, nailing it, LVN, another one, with these early, you know, top five, top 10 picks or top 15 picks. It's been more that they've been successful all throughout the draft. So even though they aren't picking early, based on what they've done, at least as of late, that shouldn't put a ton of fear into people. The next thing is that, as we mentioned, this team is chock full of young, talented players. And that's why the key to this window staying open for the foreseeable future isn't just drafting, but it's the second piece of that. It's draft and develop. This team has a gorgeous core that if they continue to grow together, mature at the same time, and hit their peak years at the same time, it should be something really special. But as I talked about with Sam Monson the other day, sometimes winning can get in the way of development. You start hitting that window early, you start winning early, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe we focus more on how we can, you know, master the game plan for this coming week rather than putting as much time into the fundamental stuff and all the things that make your players consistently better. While I think Green Bay has every right and should be fighting to try to win a Super Bowl this year, you don't want it to come at the expense of that continued development for all these young core players that should be good in 2024, 2025, 2026, and even well beyond that if things go according to plan. So you have to find that delicate balance of continuing to develop the core of your team that is still ridiculously young while also pushing as far as you can to try to push the envelope and go for it and maybe win a Super Bowl as soon as this upcoming season. But that youth is going to be the key to the team. You don't know what's going to come in the draft. You don't know how the salary cap is going to be affected with a variety of different factors, including a potential NFL Sunday Ticket lawsuit. You're going to start paying Jordan Love a ton of money. Yes, you need to continue to draft well, but you have to continue to develop all the incredible talent that is currently on this team. From a salary cap standpoint, their huge Aaron Rodgers dead cap hit from 2023 is behind them. However, they do have 50.2 in dead cap for 2024. Do you know how much they have currently in dead cap for 2025? $7.97 million only. And there could be more if they decide to release a Preston Smith or a Josh Jacobs or one of those players in the offseason. But for the most part, their time with these huge dead cap hits is behind them. And that's why, and I tweeted this out the other day, if you want to look at it from a Jordan level, you're going to pay him almost $60 million and you're going to expect to compete? Yeah. Because I expect this team to compete in 2024 and have a chance to win a Super Bowl in 2024. Well, You've got 50.2 in dead cap money for this season, in large part due to David Bakhtiari, and then there are others as well. And you're currently paying Jordan Love, I think, over like 12, 13, 14 million for this upcoming season. You've got, if you combine the dead cap plus what you're paying Jordan Love, you're over 64 million right now. So you erase that dead cap hit. You'll still have some. It's part of doing business, but it's not going to be anywhere near 50 million. And you take what Jordan Love's making right now, you can easily fit what you're going to be paying Jordan Love in future years just based off of that. And that's not even including the cap continuing to go up in the future, again, pending the Sunday Ticket lawsuit. So this is overall a much better salary cap situation for Green Bay, even though they're about to enter in to a very large Jordan Love contract. And maybe the most important thing is they have the right pieces at their core. This is a franchise that up top, with Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, Russ Ball, and that entire front office, is set up for success. You've got your franchise quarterback in Jordan Love. I have a huge belief in Matt LaFleur as the head coach of this team, and you have a really strong core of young, talented players that are continuing to progress at the right time, right alongside of that franchise quarterback in Jordan Love. When you have a really good quarterback, when you have a really good coach, you have the right infrastructure, you have a GM that knows how to find good talent, and you have a really talented young core, your window is going to stay open for a while. But I'll say it one more time. The second part of draft and develop, that develop piece, is still going to remain key. You don't want to plateau. You don't want to stay status quo. You want to keep growing these guys, because there are Pro Bowl and All-Pro caliber players that are on this team that need to get to that level. And if they do, game over, meaning for the rest of the league. This is a team that will win Super Bowl or Super Bowls if you continue to develop them the right way. You plateau, you stay status quo, I'm less sure. I'm not as positive. So it is going to be paramount that Green Bay continues their progression of this current team and then solidifies it with future drafts and future free agent classes while making smart decisions with the players that are already on the team. The window is very open. The future seems very bright, but it will be up to this Packers team of coaches, front office personnel, and players to continue progressing in the right direction to keep that window wide open as long as they possibly can. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Dan Gasford, and Peter Ataka. I'll see you tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.